Welcome back to D&B College. Today we're building something that's very useful in real drum and bass arrangements, an echo chamber bassline turned distort from scratch in Ableton Live 12. The idea is simple, but the impact is huge. You start with a bass phrase that reads clearly in the mix. Then, right at the end of the bar or phrase, you pull it into a tightening echo space, and finally you let it collapse into distortion as it turns into the next section. It's not just a delay trick, it's a proper arrangement move. It feels like the bass is falling into a tunnel, then snapping back out with attitude. And why this matters in D&B is because static bass lines get boring fast. We need movement, but we also need control. If you overdo the effect, you kill the sub and the groove falls apart. If you underdo it, nothing really happens. So the goal here is tension without low-end chaos. Start with a bass phrase that already has a turn built into it. That's the first big mindset shift. This technique works best when the bass sentence has identity already. Think two short notes, maybe a held note, then a final note that can be bent into the effect. If the phrase is too vague, the echo just turns it into fog. In Ableton, build something simple. Operator or wave eatable works great, or you can use a resampled bass one shot if that's more your style. Keep the sub disciplined. A good starting point is to separate the sub and the mid bass early. Let the sub live roughly below 90 to 110 Hz, and let the mid layer handle the character above that. That way, the turn can get ugly without wrecking the foundation. What to listen for here is whether the bass still feels like a riff. If you can't hum the rhythm, it's probably too shapeless for this move. Now before you add any chaos, build a clean, dry chain. Keep it simple. EQ8 to clear rumble or harshness, a little saturator for density, compressor if the source is uneven, and utility if you want to keep the center locked. You usually only need a gentle high pass around 20 to 30 Hz to clear useless sub-rumble, and maybe a small cut somewhere in the 180 to 350 Hz range if the bass starts sounding boxy. Why this works in D&B is because the clean core gives you contrast. The distortion tail only feels special if the original note has some authority first. If everything is already filthy, the effect loses its shape. From there, split the bass into two roles. Think of one track as the anchor and the other as the echo performer. The anchor stays simple and dry. That's your low-end stability. The performer is the mid layer, and that's where the movement lives. On the mid layer, a really solid stock device chain is auto filter, echo, saturator, maybe roar if you want more aggressive shaping, and then EQ8 after the distortion to tidy everything up. At this point, you've got a decision to make. You can go cleaner and more DJ-friendly, where the echo mostly lives on the mid layer and the sub stays dry. Or you can go dirtier and more theatrical, where the echo touches a bit more low-mid energy and the distortion is harder. If you're unsure, start clean. You can always get nastier once you hear it in context. Now let's set up the echo chamber properly. Add echo to the mid layer and sync it to the grid. For drum and bass, a really useful starting point is 1/8, 1/8 dotted, or 1/4 depending on how much space you want between the repeats. Feedback around 20 to 45% is a good starting zone. Then shape the filter so the echoes don't flood the low end. Roll off the lows aggressively, and tame the top if the delay starts fizzing too much. What to listen for here is rhythmic anticipation. The repeats should pull you toward the next snare or ghost note. If the echoes feel like clutter between drum hits, tighten the timing or reduce the feedback. A strong D&B echo should feel intentional, not messy. A really powerful move is to automate the echo only on the last note of the phrase. That keeps the effect special. It stops the bass from getting washed out all the time, and it makes the turnaround feel like a real event. Now we hit the turn distort. On that final hit, increase the drive or distortion, so the echo tail starts to break apart. You can automate saturate or drive up on the last note, push roar harder, or increase echo feedback a little while closing the filter down, for that choking tunnel effect. A practical starting point is maybe 6 to 12 dB of drive on the turn if the source can handle it. Not because louder is better, but because you want the last hit to sound like it's entering a chamber that's collapsing in real time. That's the feeling. The tail starts controlled, then it fractures, then it spits out into the next phrase. If it becomes pure fuzz and you lose the note shape, back off the drive or open the filter a bit. You want distortion, but you still want the listener to feel the bass gesture. This is also a great point to commit the effect to audio. Resample or bounce the processed bass to a new track, and then edit it like a vocal turnaround. That's a huge workflow win in Ableton, because now you can trim the tail, warp it, reverse the last slice if you want a little inhale into the next bar, and add small fades so the transition feels clean. And honestly, if the printed audio already sounds right, stop there. Don't keep stacking effects just because the chain is there. In DNB, overprocessing is one of the fastest ways to kill the punch that made the idea work. Once you've got the audio printed, place it against the drums and make it answer the groove. A classic DNB move is to let the bass phrase run for one or two bars, then let the final echoed and distorted hit land just before or right on the bar line, and then have the next snare or kick answer it immediately. Think call and response. The bass speaks, then the drums reply. That's what gives the section shape. For a simple arrangement, you could have the main bass statement for bars 1 and 2, a slight variation in bar 3, then the echo chamber turn in bar 4, followed by a gap or a fill. Then bring the bass back in a simpler or brighter version for the next phrase. That kind of structure works especially well when you're pushing into a new drum pattern or a half-time switch. Now put the full drum loop back in and do the low-end check. This is non-negotiable in drum and bass. Keep the anchor track stable and mostly dry. High-pass the distorted mid layer enough that it doesn't fight the sub, often somewhere around 80 to 150 Hz depending on the sound. Use utility to check mono, and narrow the effect return if needed. What to listen for here is very specific. Does the distorted turn swallow the snare transient? Does the sub smear into the kick? Does the bass still feel like it sits under the drums instead of on top of them? If any of those answers are no, shorten the tail or reduce the low mid residue before you try making it heavier. That low mid residue is really important. A lot of people only watch the sub, but the cloud usually happens in the 150 to 400 Hz zone. That's where the mix starts losing punch fast. So if the bass feels massive soloed but cloudy with the drums, that's usually the problem area. At this point you can choose the flavor, tunnel or snarl. Tunnel means more echo feedback, softer distortion, and stronger filtering. It feels eerie, spacious, and dubby. This is great for atmospheric rollers and darker transitions. Snarl means less delay feedback, more saturation or roar drive, and a more focused mid-range bite. It feels aggressive, compressed, and more neural-leaning. Great for hard drops and switch-ups. Both work. The choice depends on the roll and the tune. If the track is already busy, tunnel often leaves more room for the drums. If the arrangement is minimal and needs a stronger statement, snarl can hit much harder. A useful pro move is to automate the turn as the track develops. Don't use the exact same move every time. The first drop can have a short echo and subtle distortion. Later on, you can make the feedback longer or the chamber darker. On the second drop, the turn can become a signature hook before each major change. That keeps the tune moving without needing a brand new bassline every four bars. Also, keep a clean version and an aggressive version. That's a serious workflow tip. The clean one is your safety copy when the arrangement gets crowded. The aggressive one is your special moment take. If you only keep the hype version, you often end up with nowhere to go later. Another really useful shortcut is to print the tail and trim the silence before the next bar line instead of trying to force the live effect to stop perfectly. That gives you more control over groove. You can nudge the printed clip a few milliseconds earlier or later until it answers the drums properly. Tiny moves like that make a huge difference. If you want to get darker and heavier, keep the chamber eating the mids, not the sub. Let the 200 to 800 Hz zone get destroyed first, while the sub stays disciplined underneath. Short automation moves also work better than long ones. A fast push into feedback or drive over the last eighth note often feels more dangerous than a slow two-bar fade. And don't forget the silence. A tiny gap before the next phrase can make the distortion hit twice as hard. In DNB, negative space is often what creates the impact. Here's a really simple way to think about the whole process. Build a phrase with identity. Keep the sub dry and stable. Let the mid layer enter the echo chamber. Distort the final hit. Print it. Edit it against the drums. Then decide whether the move should feel like a tunnel or a snarl. What to listen for on the final pass is whether the bass turn still feels like a controlled vent instead of just a texture bed. If it stops reading as a bass gesture, reintroduce some pitch, rhythm, or transient shape. That's the sweet spot. For practice, I want you to make one usable turnaround from a two-bar bass phrase. Keep it under one bar. Use only stock Ableton devices. Split the bass into anchor and mid layer. Keep the sub mono compatible. Export or resample a single clip that starts clean, enters the echo chamber, and finishes with a distorted hit or tail that leads into the next bar. If you want to level it up, make three versions from the same phrase, one clean, one tunnel-like, and one snarly and distorted. Label them by function so you can drop them into an arrangement fast. Clean turn, tunnel turn, snarl turn. That's how you start building a real toolkit instead of just a one-off effect. So the big takeaway today is this. Don't treat the echo chamber turn as a plug-in trick. Treat it as a phrase moment. Keep the low end solid, let the mid layer move, distort the last hit on purpose, and commit the best version to audio. That's how you get tension, clarity, and forward motion at the same time. Now go make it. Try the exercise, test it with the full drum loop, and once it locks, push it one step further into your own signature DNB flavor.